Welcome to the weekend, First Five friend. I'm very excited because Lily Dunbar joins us for our week five weekend teaching. And Lily takes us on a deep dive into one word, really, that we see repeatedly in this week's teachings. And that word is charge. And she really dives into what it means to be given a charge. After I read her teaching, I was like, who knew one little word could carry so much meaning? Yes, in biblical times, but also for us today. So Lily, I appreciate that you made me reflect on that word charge is in my own life. Let's dive deeper into that word with you right now.
Aw, thanks, Wendy. It's such a joy to be here today with everyone. And I guess I should just start before we dive into the teaching, just sharing that a lot has really changed in my life over the last year since I last recorded one of these weekend audio teachings. And Wendy, I know a lot's changing in your life as well. And I'm in a new season, and my husband and I have taken on a new commitment that has disrupted our schedule and changed all our priorities. And so I was having lunch with a friend recently, and I explained to her, you know, how things just have changed and how things are really different now as we step into a caregiving role for my mom, who is now a widow and is turning 80 this year. And my dear friend, she was sitting across from me at the table, and she listened as I shared, and then she kind of shook her head about some of the adjustments we've made, which I guess she thought were unreasonable. And she had, you know, it's just not been easy. And so she candidly asked, well, you know, how long are you planning on sticking to this crazy schedule? And then she asked if there was any other way that we could handle it. And I basically, you know, I had to explain to her that no one else is here to assume this role. It's my responsibility. And I see it as a charge that I've received from the Lord. Now, as I was reading through Nehemiah this week in preparation for sharing today, I was especially drawn to the description of Hanani in chapter 7, verse 2. So let me read it to you. He says, I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the governor of the castle, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a more faithful and God-fearing man than many. The text says, I gave him charge. And so I was just curious about that. I had to discover what that meant exactly. So I looked it up in the original Hebrew, and I learned that this verb is it means to be ordered, to be directed, to be appointed, or commanded. And from there, now I wanted to see if that verb was used anywhere else in Nehemiah, in our text. And of course, I found it was used in a couple of more places. So that became the focus for today. Nehemiah and the people of Israel, who stood shoulder to shoulder with him to do the work, had been given a charge. And I believe that you and I, as followers of Jesus, have also been given a charge. So we can learn from their example. So let's start here with Hanani in chapter 7, verse 2. What can we learn from him? The text says he was set apart as a man who was faithful and God-fearing. And because of that, Nehemiah entrusted him with even greater responsibility. I looked up faithful and God-fearing in the original languages and learned that faithful means to walk in truth or to conduct oneself according to God's holy standards. And God-fearing is when our whole life is responding to who God is by honoring him and displaying a reverent respect for his holiness. One of the commentaries I read talked about how Hanani, he was a reliable man of integrity who was led by his spiritual convictions. He could be trusted to make decisions that obeyed the word of God, not the desires of man. He wasn't easily swayed. So today, as we think about the charge we have received as followers of Christ, let's ask ourselves if we are living set apart from others as a reliable source of wisdom. Can people look to us and trust what we will speak will always align with the truth of God's word and not necessarily be what they want to hear, but what God says? Not only was Hanani given a charge as an individual to reliably speak the truth, but we see in another place here in chapter 8 where the entire community was also given a charge. Verse 1 says, "And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel." Now, I was really excited to discover that the word commanded here in this verse is the same Hebrew verb for charge that we saw in chapter 7, verse 2. Now, the phrase "all the people" is used actually 9 times here in the first 12 verses of chapter 8. And I love how here in this verse, it says that they gathered as one man. The meaning of the verb there is rooted in the imagery of harvest. We gather to reap the fruit. It's a beautiful picture of individuals joining together as one in joyful anticipation of receiving a bountiful blessing from God's word. But this is not just a charge for the people in Nehemiah's day. We've been given a similar charge. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, we're charged to consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near. So today, as we think about the charge we have received as a collective body, as followers of Christ, let's remind ourselves that we have a charge to be in community as the body and the believers of Jesus. First five, friend, how will you gather with other people of faith and stand together as one with a ready responsiveness to receive God's word? Okay, we've looked at an individual who was given a charge and an entire community. But there is one more example for us to learn from, and that is found a little further down in chapter 8 of Nehemiah. Let's start reading in verse 13. "On the second day, the heads of fathers' houses of all the people with the priests and the Levites came together to Ezra the scribe in order to study the words of the law. And they found it written in the law that the Lord had commanded by Moses that the people of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim it and publish it in all their towns and in Jerusalem. Go out to the hills and bring branches of olive, wild olive, myrtle, palm, and other leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went out and brought them and made booths for themselves, and each on his roof, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the square at the water gate, and in the square at the gate of Ephraim." Okay, first I want to point out here that in verse 14, we again see the verb commanded, which is also the verb used as charge back in chapter 7, verse 2. Same verb again. So the focus here is on how the heads of the fathers' houses were given a charge for their families. They were responsible for promoting the study of God's word and the right worship to their relatives. The expression "to study the words of the law" suggests something more than just passive listening. It means to act with devotion. We've looked at the charge for an individual and for an entire community, but here the charge comes right into our homes. It's opening up God's word at our kitchen table and praying with our loved ones as we kneel beside our bedside. No one else can take up this charge. It's our responsibility. So Wendy, I thought this would be a great place to ask you for some practical help on how we can incorporate God's word into our homes. Do you have any suggestions for us?
What a great question. And I have to say, one, I had a little scripture memory plate in the kitchen that we would have a verse every couple weeks. So we worked on memorizing God's word. We always prayed with our kids at night. And when they got old enough, encouraged them to sort of start praying back, and I showed them how then to pray God's word, to sort of teach them at a younger age about how you can take the word of God and pray the word of God. And then just watching them and encouraging them. I can remember one time Lauren had a friend in middle school that was going through a hard time, and she wrote a little card with the word of God on it to give to this boy from school who was having trouble with his parents. So I think as long as we keep the word going around, however we want to do it, and there's more creative ways now with phones and everything, but it's just keeping the word ever before them in ways that they can relate to and have fun with, and also modeling it as parents praying together.
I love that, you know, and for maybe a first five friend who, you know, is not momming right now in this season, it can be as simple as just maybe a verse for the week that they have, you know, on a display board in their kitchen, and they change it weekly. And then, you know, when people come in, they'll see it on display when they have friends over, you know, just simple things like that.
And Lily, another thing is if you have a few other girlfriends that are believers, which I've done before too, is maybe invite them together. You have the three, or you have the four of you can memorize God's word together. And then by the end of the year, you've memorized 10 verses or something.
I love that. Yes, it's good. We have a gym partner, but we also need a scripture memory partner. So I think that's great. All right. So I want to take us all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, where Moses first spoke this charge. And he said, "And these words I commanded you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." So today, as we think about the charge we've received as followers of Christ, let's ask ourselves, what steps can we take? And this is something we can pray about. You know, Wendy and I have made some suggestions, but the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and he's our counselor. And so we can pray and just ask for practical ways that we can incorporate scripture into our homes and into our lives and make it more prevalent maybe than we have been, and ask him for help. And, you know, sometimes we need that little extra oomph, and he will help us. So how will we help those that we love and our friends and family see his word as a lamp to their feet and a light to their path? That's something we can pray about this week. Now, before we end our time together today, I thought it would be a good reminder for all of us to remember that as followers of Jesus, we have been given a charge to share about the hope that we have because Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. Paul talks about this charge in the New Testament in the letter to Timothy, but he's not only charging Timothy, he's also charging you and he's charging me. And we're going to conclude with his words. So I encourage you to just close your eyes as I read this passage and prayerfully reflect on this charge that you and I have received, and ask God how he wants you to live it out this week. We'll begin reading in verse 12. Paul says, "I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, in the foremost, Jesus might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, and to you, first five friend, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage good warfare."
Thank you, Lily. I really have several little things. Thank you for diligently listening to the Lord for yourself and getting that word charge, because you've left us with a lot to ponder. But more than that, you also taught us really how to word study without teaching it verbally, by just taking that word charge, going through the scriptures, seeing where else you see it, reinforcing and bolstering the meaning of that word. It is one of the best ways to study God's word. It helps us study it more precisely and more deeply, and realize that the word does just back itself up over and over and over again. And that's important. And it was fun to see how you picked up on one word. Sometimes we don't get the behind the scenes of what made Lily choose to talk about this today. And you don't always have time to share that, but I love that you gave us insight into that word charge, and what spoke to your heart spoke to mine, and I'm sure there are many others. So thanks, Lily. I'm going to close this in prayer. Father, we come before you filled with gratitude for you and for the call you've placed on each one of our lives, for the charge you've given us to do your kingdom work. You've placed within us gifts and talents. You've placed people all around us who need us. You've opened doors for us to serve, just like you did for Lily with her mom. And Lord, we want to use those gifts well. We want to serve you well when you call us up, and we want to help those who need it, even when it's not convenient, even when it's wearying. But when it does feel hard because of sin, because we have our own agendas, because we've been rebellious, because we're selfish, because we don't always obey what you call us to do, I know I'm in that place, Lord, as I serve someone now, and I just confess that. And I ask and call upon your kindness and your mercy and your abundant grace to forgive me and to forgive us. Help us receive your forgiveness and walk in the fullness of that, so we can do like Lily did and walk in where you're calling us to walk and pick up that charge. So Lord, may our lives be an offering to you. Use us. Open doors for us to be a living example of what it truly means to be a child of God, to obey when it's hard, to serve when we're tired, to apologize when we've hurt someone, to say yes to where you're leading us to go and what you're calling us to do. Even if it's hard, even if we can't even see how we could get it done, we can trust in your truth that says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In Jesus' name, amen.